With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This 10th year of Daily Tech News Show is made possible by Howard Yermish, John Atwood, Pat, and you. Thanks to all of you for making the show possible. Coming up on DTNS, Uber's new innovation, phone booking rides. Plus, Amazon hasn't given up on voice assistants yet. And an on-the-street report from Tesla from Allison Sheridan. This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, May 17th, 2023 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the Podfeet Podcast, I'm Allison Sheridan.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Jack.
I accidentally said from the Tesla. That was overpromising. Allison is in her home. She's not in her Tesla right now.
But that would have been good.
Yeah. You could have done it, though. Like, you got the power.
From the mind of a Tesla.
There you go.
All right. We are going to get to that discussion of Tesla with Allison, but let's start with the quick hits.
On Tuesday, the U.S. Department of Justice indicted and charged Weibo Wang for theft and attempted theft of Apple's autonomous driving tech. Wang worked for Apple as a software engineer from 2016 through 2018. Reuters reports that Wang is head of intelligent driving at Jidu. That's a company owned by China's Baidu. Wang is accused of accessing confidential databases from Apple days before his departure and taking that information with him in violation of confidentiality agreements. After law enforcement searched his house, he boarded a flight to China. Now, if found guilty, he could face up to 10 years in jail and fines of up to $250,000.
The top-level domains .zip and .mov have been around since 2014, but they just became generally available to the public earlier this month. Bleeping Computer's Lawrence Abrams notes that some platforms, including Twitter, automatically convert file names with .zip or .mov extensions into URLs now because they're domain names. But that opens the door for malicious actors to squat on active URLs that sound like file names with those endings, and then send users to malicious sites. Silent Push Labs already discovered someone attempting to do this with the URL Microsoft-Office.zip, while others have registered domain names for other common zip archives to point users to information on the risks of these domain names. So you got some white hats in there, too. Keep in mind, this is not a new problem. This was a problem for .com, the file extension for some executables in the earliest days of the web itself.
Motorola announced an event for June 1st showing the profile of two foldable devices using the tagline, "Flip the script." Now, based on some previous leaks, it seems likely a new Razer foldable device might be announced at this event.
The Financial Times sources say Volkswagen began talks with Huawei to use its software on vehicles sold in China. This comes after VW restructured its own software development unit, CARIAD, earlier this month. By restructuring, that meant dismissing most of its senior execs.
Microsoft began rolling out support for continuing Bing chat conversations on mobile that initially started on a PC. That's coming to iOS and Android within the next week. It also began rolling out support for contextual chat in the Microsoft Edge mobile browser, letting the chatbot read the site a user's on. Microsoft will also release a Bing chat widget for quicker access on iOS and Android later this week.
All right, let's talk about those Uber announcements.
Let's do it. So Uber's been experimenting with all sorts of things as of late: rental cars, flight bookings. At its annual product showcase called Go Get, the company showed off a few more everything app-esque features. Here's the first one. If you invite somebody to a group ride, Uber will now let you enter your own pickup or drop-off location. So let's say I'm having a barbecue. Tom, Allison, and Roger are all coming to my barbecue.
Yay.
But I don't, yeah, I, well, yeah, I hope you all show up. But I don't know everybody's address offhand to make the group ride work. Allison maybe is somewhere unusual. Maybe she's not at her house, and I don't know where she is.
Yeah.
They can set up their own locations from within this group ride and even pay for their share of the ride afterwards. So I say, yay, thanks for going to my barbecue, but I'm not paying for all this stuff. You guys live in LA. You were all over the place. It would cost me a lot of money otherwise. Uber also announced teen accounts. Those are designed for parents and caretakers of anyone from 13 through 17 years old, screening for highly rated drivers, making sure that only the highest rated drivers are picking up kids. Live trip tracking. So if you are a third party, you can still see how the ride is going. And also offering always on customer support to either contact the driver, call them specifically, or if you're having issues there, calling Uber directly during a ride. So, Tom, what else did Uber announce?
Yes, I'm a big fan of using Uber Eats. So if you want to use Uber Eats to send a gift, you know, like your Aunt Sarah's favorite chicken soup takeout, you can now record and attach a personalized video message like, hey, Aunt Sarah, get well soon, or happy birthday, Uncle Roger. The feature is currently only available on gift cards, though, but they do expect a full item rollout soon. Finally, Uber announced its partnered with car seat company Nuna to let parents and caregivers request car seat equipped cars. That is available in New York City and Los Angeles to begin with. But Allison, let's talk about Uber's other groundbreaking new features.
Well, first, Uber Eats now offers group grocery store shopping. So various members of a household, family, roommates, maybe a group on vacation. That happens for us all the time. Everybody can enter items needed and deadlines for those items, and then they can split the eventual bill. I really like that part, too. But the truly groundbreaking feature is that Uber will now let you request a ride with a toll-free number, 1-833-USE-UBER, to schedule an immediate or future ride in English or in Spanish. You get a text when your booking is confirmed. Now, that seems kind of silly, but, you know, there are people who don't have smartphones or are just not into the app experience. So I actually think this is a big deal.
I agree. There are times when I have wanted someone to be able to use Uber or Lyft or any of the other similar services, but they didn't have the app. They had a smartphone. They didn't have the app. They didn't want to install it. You know, there's just some people like, yeah, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to create an account, any of that sort of stuff. Now, granted, if you call this phone number, you're basically going to have to create an account. Somebody's going to have to pay for this. But it does take away that impediment of I have to install something. So I do like this, because to me, Uber long ago got past ride sharing, and now it is moving past ride hailing to just be a travel app. I like the idea that, you know, I would like to see Uber work with more taxi companies to say, like, yeah, we have our own Uber drivers, but if a taxi is the closest thing and the best thing, we'll send you a taxi. I think that'd be great.
That would be cool. I know Steve's parents are in their 80s and they both still drive, but they started experimenting with Uber because their retirement facility would actually hail the Uber for them and there then bill them through the facility. And so, you know, anything that encourages them to maybe not drive all the time wouldn't be the worst idea. So, and he's just got a flip phone. She's got a smartphone, but he's got a flip phone. No interest in going with a smartphone. So this would really be perfect for him. He would really love this.
You know, one of the car seat company Nuna feature that you mentioned, Tom. This is not something that has ever applied to me because I'm usually not traveling with kids who need to be in car seats. I have a lot of friends who do, mm-hmm. and over the years, let's say I don't know, maybe there'd be like some friends of mine coming up to wine country, and you know, I'd sort of say like, oh, but I mean, why drive? You know, yeah, they'd say, well, you can't do Uber because of the car seat thing. You know, we have a kid and, you know, that does come up quite a bit. So even though this is Los Angeles and New York is not taking care of that big of a market, it is a step in the right direction. And I know people would be like, yes, finally.
I'd like to see a combination of two of these things. Now that you said it, I put these pieces together. The part about being able to vet the drivers a little more when you're doing it for teens, combined with the car seat thing, because I know we've wanted to go out and work on dealing with a car seat thing with my grandkids and stuff. But also, even if your kids aren't by themselves, parents are a little more protective. Like, I'm willing to take a risk with myself, but maybe not with my child in the car. And so to be able to say, okay, I've got this upper tier of cars I can request, and it's going to have a car seat. That would be ideal. But there's so many levels of car seat. It's going to be tricky. You got your infants, your regular kids, toddlers, and then they got the booster seats. So kids, that's a tough problem to solve.
A lot of folks in the chat room are like, shouldn't all drivers be vetted? Shouldn't you always be screening for highly rated drivers? Yes, all drivers are vetted. These are raising the bar to say we're only by default going to give the teens the best of the best. You could do that yourself if you want, but these accounts don't let you get anyone else. So you're having the cream of the crop, because mathematically there's always a top 10% of anything, right? So I think that's all that's saying. It's not implying that the rest of us are getting crappy drivers.
Combined, it looks like Uber's doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. They're becoming a travel service, which is very interesting to watch.
I also, you know, Allison, you mentioned that the idea of like being at a vacation rental and having a bunch of people who want stuff at different times and being able to pool what you want and when you want it together, because you're all in a household of sorts, or maybe this is just like your regular household, or, you know, you have four roommates or whatever it might be. This comes in handy too. I don't know how much I would use it, because I live alone, but I often go on vacation with a few people, and that's sort of a fun option too.
Yeah, I like the idea.
The main thing we need to know, though, is whether Chris is actually cooking at your barbecue.
Oh, he better be. Chris or
if he's
Ron.
Cooking at my barbecue, I don't need anything from Uber Eats. We are good. Unless he needs some ingredients.
Unless he needs some groceries. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, some folks speculate that Amazon and other companies might be pulling back from those smart assistants. Or maybe not, because on Wednesday, Amazon announced new Echo devices, quite a few. So let's go through this, Tom. What are they, and what do they tell us about Amazon's intentions?
Right. So probably the biggest departure is a new form factor, the Echo Pop. Some people describe it as a slice of Echo Dot. It's sort of a half sphere with a flat part on both sides, has Eero built in, so you can use it as a Wi-Fi extender in that system as well. You can get it in black, white, lavender, or teal. $40, so $10 cheaper than the Dot, shipping May 31st.
You know, the whole sliced sphere, I think the sphere is sort of the cooler look, but the slice feels more speaker to me.
Yeah,
and maybe that's just in my mind because I'm used to speakers having a flat surface. Mm-hmm. Even though I have various Sonos speakers upstairs that are, you know, cylindrical. But yeah, for this price and with some fun colors, I'm kind of a no-brainer.
Allison, you were asking me earlier, we were trying to figure out whether the Eero in here is the modern hardware, because this thing at $40 is $10 cheaper than the old Eero that they still sell.
Right. And they don't really, I wasn't able to find quickly what kind of specs it is. Is it Wi-Fi 6? Is it 6E? What is it doing with the backhaul on that? And really, if it is an Eero, I would buy these to extend a network.
Yeah, why not?
My son has Eeros, and I think he needs a couple of more, but he's also an Echo kind of a household. So I'm thinking throw in some speakers. And were any of them that had displays, were they also, does anybody remember, were they also Eeros inside?
No, this is the first one I've seen. Yeah.
Okay.
The Echo Show 5 and the Echo Show 5 Kids both got upgrades. New chips, so 20% faster, re-engineered microphone array, clearer sound. They say that you'll double the bass. I'm not sure how you exactly measure that. The kids version in the US, UK, and Germany.
Depends on what you're playing, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about that bass. The kids version in US, UK, and Germany includes a year subscription to the $5 a month Amazon Kids Plus. So you pay $10 more, but you get $60 worth of service. And they're both shipping May 31st. These aren't big updates. These are just the next model with newer hardware inside, basically.
What's that song? We will rock you. That's my grandson's, 6-year-old grandson's favorite song. That would be, he could use twice as much bass.
Yeah, there you go. Good, good example.
Also a popular song with American Idol contestants. But
is it really?
I digress. Oh, yeah. It used to be, anyway.
The new Echo Earbuds promise better sound thanks to a 12-millimeter dynamic drive. Battery life is increased. 5 hours of continuous playback or 20 hours if you use the case. Sports multi-point pairing. That's kind of the big advance. So you can pair and switch audio between two devices simultaneously. That's something that the latest version of Bluetooth can do. No active noise cancellation, though. So you can still buy the old Echo Earbuds that have active noise cancellation. They're just more expensive. The Echo earbuds here are only $50, shipping June 7th.
That's active noise cancellation is important to me, but if you've never had it or you say, I really don't care, $50, that's a great
price. Not a bad price. Yeah.
Yeah, for something, you know, if it's good audio otherwise that can pair to a variety of devices.
And, you know, nobody ever loses earbuds, right? That isn't a problem anybody has.
Yeah, never done that. Never once.
No. They are weird looking, though. They kind of, I think it was The Verge described them as looking like they'd been 3D printed. I'm sorry if it wasn't The Verge. I may be getting that wrong.
Well, but what's wrong with that? 3D printed things are, you know.
But that's just like saying a website looks like it's from Linux. Right? It's not a compliment.
Yeah. And then finally, Echo Auto, which is that little dongle you can connect to your car to get voice command features while driving, is now available in more countries. So not an update to the hardware, but Australia, Canada, UK, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and Japan can all get it now. So we got a brand new form factor. We got a couple of updates, new markets for one of the products. Allison, what do you think this means for Amazon's voice assistant strategy?
Well, it seems surprising that the reports are that they're losing a whole lot of money on this, right? But they sure seem to be coming out with a lot of products. I'm amazed at the imagination of how many different things they can come up with to shove Alexa into, right? That's a lot of different products they've been announcing every single time.
Yeah, and they're not retiring them all the time. They've retired a few, but yeah.
The plethora of options that you have is pretty astonishing, really. So it does seem like they're still throwing a lot of money into it, doesn't it? And I don't hear complaints about these products.
I think they feel like AI has to happen. This is their advantage in AI, and they'll figure out the monetization down the road somehow.
Yeah, I mean, with all the talk of Amazon and Google both potentially scaling back efforts for assistance, you know, part of me thinks, well, these products were maybe in the pipeline already, so why not just offer them? Mm-hmm. You know, let's sell some hardware, let's see what sticks. You know, maybe this will change direction, maybe it won't. You know, it could be that Amazon says, you know, our assistant was V1 of how we really think that you're going to talk to your devices in the future, and that, you know, they're just getting rid of some inventory. But I don't know. I feel like they are specifying the stuff to the point where maybe the downfall of you know who was greatly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. Amazon's SVP Rohit Prasad told TechCrunch, "You'll find qualitatively different elements of experiences that will be launching along the year," sort of vaguely teasing that there's more to come as well. So maybe those will be more indicative of the future strategy. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you're feeling social, get in touch with the DTNS audience on the social medias. We are at DTNS Show on Twitter, at DTNS Show on Mastodon, mstdn.social, at Daily Tech News Show on TikTok, and at DTNS Picks on Instagram. And we've had more stuff going up on TikTok, had more shorts going up on YouTube, youtube.com/Daily Tech News Show. So enjoy all of the stuff that we have to offer. Thank you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Right now on a special edition of Tools and Weapons, Brad Smith is sharing a vision for what Microsoft calls the new AI economy. It's an idea rooted in technological revolutions of the past, like the printing press, which created a vibrant marketplace of related innovations, ultimately leading to an explosion of books and readers. But he doesn't just give a history lesson. In the episode, Brad lays out the tangible ways that Microsoft is providing infrastructure and other support to those leading the charge of the new AI economy. And he explains the importance of using that infrastructure to ensure equitable access to AI to people all over the world. To stay current on insights from voices at the center of the conversation on AI, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you like to listen.
Tesla held its annual meeting Tuesday, and there was a lot. Short version is Tesla Cybertruck still promised to go into production. They're going to cut costs by moving off of silicon carbide power electronics in the drive units. Musk told CNBC that full autonomous driving looks like it's going to happen this year. He said, I was able to drive for several days, just dropping a navigation pin in random locations in the greater Austin area with no intervention, and the same in San Francisco. However, what he's saying is different than what they told the California Department of Motor Vehicles earlier this year, that the existing version of the software is not capable of autonomous driving, and the company does not expect to make significant enhancements to the system. In other words, it's going to stay level two, which means the driver has to maintain control. What we like to do here on Daily Tech News Show is focus on what's actually usable by us, the consumers, rather than so much on the pre-releases and the leaks. So we are going to ask Allison, a current Tesla driver and user of its full self-driving beta 11. How is it, Allison? Where should we start?
Well, the thing to keep in mind is we've had essentially full self-driving on the freeway for a long time. It'll change lanes. It'll get on and off freeways. It'll do intersections. That's kind of old news. I'm talking about driving in the city, and that's where it gets really, really scary. I've talked on the show before when V10 was out about how I like to describe it as a teenage driver who is also drunk was what it was like. Basically terrifying. Mm-hmm. It made a lot of mistakes. It would freak out at little minor things. Somebody would pull across in front of you where you had plenty of time to for the intersection to clear, and it would go, oh, it's a big thing. It was super tentative, pulling out an intersection. You're going, ear, trying to get out. It made all kinds of mistakes. It kept trying to hit the medians. When you go to turn left, there's often a concrete median. It would drive straight towards it. You had to rest control.
Yeah.
So not good. Over the last couple of year or so, there have been minor updates. And each time we go, maybe this time it'll be good. And it never is. None of those problems got fixed. But we just got V11. And V11 is a huge improvement. I would say it's still a teenage driver or an inexperienced driver.
But it's sobered
up. Definitely not drunk. It is sober.
Well, that's a plus.
Finally.
It's not even drinking wine or like 3-2 beer.
Driving is still drunk driving. So good. Yeah. Totally.
No, but no, it's not drunk driving at all. It's much, much better. So the big things that I've noticed is that it's very confident pulling out of an intersection into traffic, and it's not making mistakes when it does that. So you know how it's kind of bad when somebody is too tentative? That's actually dangerous.
Yeah.
It appropriately briskly pulls into intersections. It's not panicky at all. I was driving on a pretty wide road when this pedestrian just diagonally walked across the street. And I know that in the previous version, it would have freaked out. And this time, it just kind of slowed down, gave it plenty of room, and very gently accelerated back up. It was no problem. It was exactly the way I would have done it. I had another situation where this idiot pulled his SUV up next to a fire hydrant, blocking my lane partially, and then he whipped open the door and got out of the car in the middle of my lane. And the car didn't freak out. It slowed down. It stopped quite a distance from him, and then it started trying to edge to the left. I actually took control because I was freaking out, but it didn't have a problem with it. It no longer tries to hit physical medians. It does still drive over painted on the ground medians. In California, at least, we have a double, double yellow line, means
sure.
This is like a physical median. It does drive over those still. So it's still making a mistake. Mm-hmm. But the reason I say it's not like an experienced driver is because it does things like it always stays in the center of the lane. The center of the line, no matter what. So if you're on a curve to the right, you know how you hug the inside of the curve?
Uh-huh.
Nope, it goes in the center, which is fine, but it feels like you're sliding out of the lane, like it's not going to be in control. So that's a little disconcerting. And if you have lanes merging in where two lanes become one, instead of staying, say, to the left of the side of the lane, it'll move over to the center and then back over to the left again.
Oh, that's so it's rude. Like
yeah, well, exactly. Well, it makes the people behind you think you're going to be turning right or something.
Right.
So, and then the last thing that I noticed was on Sepulveda, we've got three lanes in this area, and nobody drives in the right lane because it's got dips and it's got little intersections and it's got businesses.
Yeah.
People are always slowing down, pulling in, pulling out. It's a terrible lane. It loved that lane. I'd get it out of that lane. I'd say, no, turn the signal on. I'd get it to move to the middle of the lane. And then it'd go, yeah, I'm going back in that lane. This is a great lane because there's nobody in it. But there was a reason why not.
That's a really good example of a hard problem for a machine learning to understand, because that is a very intuitive thing of like, oh, no one else is in this lane. Looks like it's kind of rocky. I'm just going to stay out of it. That's not logical, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
That's just something you have to intuit.
You sort of know because you've driven it enough. There was Allison, I'm sure you saw this. There was a video that went around of a Tesla that had rolled up to a crosswalk, had a green light, and then somebody started going through the crosswalk. But the Tesla was kind of in the right of way, there was no issue with the pedestrian. And, you know, the person who shared this, I think it was on Twitter, was like, what do we think here? You know, and people were like, illegal. You have to always yield to a pedestrian kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then other people saying, you know what? This is actually a better form of driving. There was going to be no collision. The person, you know, was not really obeying their traffic signals. And, mm-hmm. the future of, you know, driving getting better?
My driver's ed teacher back in, 1975 told me it had the 6-foot fall down rule, which I don't think is a real rule. But I always think of that. It's like if the person fell straight forward, would you run them over? Nah, then you're fine.
I don't know if that's the law, but that's reasonable. That's perfectly reasonable.
So, yeah.
It's reasonable if you're trying to keep traffic flowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like if you're talking about autonomous driving, that is the goal. Obviously, there are many exceptions, but that is the goal. So
there was one much like what you're talking about, Sarah, where we pulled up to an intersection, the light turned green. My car pulled into the intersection, turned on the left turn signal because it was supposed to be turning left, but we couldn't tell what the other driver was going to do. I think they had their turn signal on that they were going to turn left, so we could have both gone, but they didn't move. And my car just went, nope, I'm just going to sit here till that person makes a decision. And I think that was probably the right decision, but that's not what I would have done.
Right.
It's
the safer decision,
I'm going to get through it before that person wakes up and stops fooling around on their phone.
Yeah.
But I think I'm still such a huge believer in that we have to get to full self-driving. We have to do it. The child of some friends of mine was killed in an accident recently. And I will keep working on this and keep giving all my feedback and trying to help it exist, because we need to stop being the ones driving. We are not good at this, and we goof around on our phones, and we just need to stop. It needs to succeed.
Now let's go to the good point.
Well, indeed. And I'm so sorry to hear about your friends.
Yeah, me too.
What I am happy about is salads that are smarter. All right.
On a lighter topic.
Stay
salads.
With me here. Yeah. Salad chain Sweet Green. You might know it's pretty popular in various urban areas in the U.S., is testing out a new device called the Infinite Kitchen. It's a steel and glass unit. Doesn't really look like a robot, but it is robotic, hanging up behind the front counter, designed to assemble various salads that Sweet Green offers. If you've ever been to a Sweet Green, you've got all these choices, and you tell the person what you want, and they make the salad for you, and then you pick it up at the end of the assembly line. So the test is in the Chicago suburb of Naperville, and here's how it works. You place an order for a certain salad and you use a touchscreen tablet, so you don't even have to talk to a person. Then the Infinite Kitchen unit works along a populated assembly line of various ingredients that have already been put in by employees. So they're, you know, employees still have to be part of this. Then they spin the salad as it goes. If there's a special ingredient the robot can't handle, or maybe somebody says at the end, "Oh, I forgot," an employee can put the finishing touches onto the masterpiece. I don't know, maybe it's Caesar dressing or something like that. The idea, though, is that workers spend less time on custom orders and more time interacting with the customers. At least that's what Sweet Green is saying. It currently has 200 locations in the U.S. So if this test works, you could probably expect a wider rollout of the Infinite Kitchen. As for the obvious question of whether or not human jobs are being eliminated if this is a continued success, Sweet Green says, "Too early to tell, but yes, as this process might get streamlined, fewer humans might be needed."
I like it. It looks like a bunch of Slurpee machines that your salad bowl goes under as it goes by, right? You still need somebody to serve you your Slurpee.
A salad seems like something that is eminently automatable, right? Because you're just...
Like, even more, you might say, like, well, I mean, sandwich, burrito. It's like, yeah, but a salad is almost like just throw everything into a bowl,
and then mix it up.
Spin it a little, yep. And we're good.
Yep, yep.
So it almost makes more sense than any other type of food.
Well, it also makes sense to check out the mailbag.
Indeed it does. We got a lot of responses to our conversation about not thinking of AI as human. We had that with Ayaz Akhtar, who was our guest on yesterday's show. Damon agreed with the premise, but said, "We have many Amazon Echoes, and when our kids ask one a question, the other and maybe another room will answer. I've caught my kids saying, 'Alexa, shut up.' Then I say something like, 'Don't talk to her like that.'" James had a reason why it's a good idea not to be rude to an assistant, even if you don't think of it as human. James says, "We must not attribute human emotions or motivations to AI, but we should still encourage basic politeness. Mostly, this is because rudeness and abusiveness can and will carry through to other interactions." And Daniel had a practical reason to act polite. Daniel said, "When you say thank you, you're also implying, 'Stop listening to me. Our conversation is over.' She'll make a quick comment, then stop listening for another direct command."
You know, I was struck by the number of people, not just the folks we mentioned here, but other folks who wrote in who said, but if we don't think of them as human, we shouldn't be mean to them. And I realized as I was thinking of my responses to them that saying we shouldn't be mean to them is thinking of them as human. In fact, being mean to them is thinking of them as human, right? There is no being mean to a screwdriver. There is no being mean to a hammer. So I agree with everyone here that, yeah, like, yes, there are reasons you should act as if you're being polite because it can carry through to other interactions, because it has a practical benefit of telling it, "Hey, I'm done listening to you." But any concern about the response is human. It has nothing to do with the actual machine, because the actual machine doesn't care one little
Although,
bit.
This is exactly what Dr. Gary was talking about on DTNS, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very similar.
But I do draw the line. The printer is malicious. It is
doing
it on purpose.
For sure. Yeah.
Right?
No, it's watching me right now.
Oh, mine is so evil, I unplugged it.
See? Exactly.
Yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
But that's different. That's my printer. It's out to get me.
But all kidding aside, I get it. Where, you know, everybody who wrote in is like, "We agree with you. However, here's where the lines get a little blurred." You know, maybe, you know, if you've got kids who end up saying like, "Shut up," you know, to another person, where you're like, "Whoa, no. You only do that to AI,
practice
not to the person," because you start getting used to responding a certain way.
And we should be clear, we weren't advocating on the show yesterday, be mean to the AI.
No.
Because again, that's treating it as if it's human, right? What we were saying is, think of it as a tool. Don't think of it as a person. And then you wouldn't want to be mean or kind to it, because it's not a person. It's not even an animal. It's just a thing, just a tool.
Well, Allison Sheridan, we could never have a conversation about autonomous vehicles and new Amazon products and AI, either being human or not, without you. So let folks know where they can keep up with all that you do.
All right. Well, I keep everything over at podfeet.com. And one of the things I talked about recently was some actual metrics I took on how engagement is on Mastodon versus Twitter, and it is ridiculously more engagement over on Mastodon, and I kind of dig in a little bit trying to figure out why, and I think that was a lot of fun, and that is over at podfeet.com, and you can follow me on Mastodon at podfeet at chaos.social.
Can't spell Allison without AI.
That's right. Well, that's true. Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Also interesting and great are our brand new bosses, Errol and Jordan. Errol and Jordan both started backing us on Patreon since our last show. Always a fun thing to have in our inbox. Thank you so much for being part of the team.
Yeah, if you want to be like Errol and Jordan, head on over to patreon.com/DTNS. Even if you don't have any dollars right now, maybe a robot replaced you. We have free options now to become a patron at patreon.com/DTNS. And if you're a paid patron, stick around for the extended show Good Day Internet. Meta and BMW have made a big breakthrough for using VR in your car. Great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It's early days.
Maybe. Yeah. We will unpack our feelings on this in just a moment. But just a reminder, you can catch the show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's 2000 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. Speaking of VR, we're back tomorrow talking a VR smelling system with none other than Dr. Nikki Ackermans. She knows anybody does. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.